That was the most beautiful bit of film I've ever seen.
Huh?
What performances! Did you see the pups' faces? They loved it!
But...
Such emotion, such intensity!
Sergei, it was an advert for snacks.
I don't remember the last time I felt so moved.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Enjoy more time together with 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Meerkat Movies with the Meerkat app when you buy so compare the market.
Qualifying purchase. Chooses Wednesdays only. Participating cinemas. T's and C's apply.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast.
Ow.
One more podcast for Christmas. It's the modern sleeps.
Exciting.
Yes. Yeah, sure. This week, fearful parents are sapping children's sense of adventure. We hit back with parenting the X way. Also, so many of you have written in to say, why aren't we doing this anymore? Please, more. We talk about my body.
Sure.
Back by popular demand.
We really don't do that enough, do we?
No.
That's exactly what the people
say. Yeah,
I
can see what he means.
Was it you texting? Because that's exactly...
No.
There was exactly that sort of desperate tone in a lot of the texts.
Yeah.
Please, TJ, talk about your body, guy.
Yeah.
Please, come on, TJ.
Can't get enough of it.
You got a great sports car. You don't leave it in the garage. At least give your body a spin on radio.
Give it a run out.
Yeah, right. Can we just hear it one night? Yeah, well, you know, you never know. Anyway, we've also got giant penguins.
Yes.
If my own giant form isn't enough. Enjoy the podcast.
Radio X.
Are you right, Sunta?
Great, thanks.
Gav?
Yeah.
So I went to this Shakespeare thing on Friday night, Ian McKellen.
You saw the Ian McKellen show?
Yeah. Do you not think, Sunt?
Yes.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the first half.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Great. I loved his anecdotes. I love a theatrical anecdote.
It's great, isn't
They're
it?
Just genius, yeah. Especially the one about them, 1 week's rehearsal for a rep act he worked with, which certainly wasn't enough. which I can tell you now was not enough.
Very engaging, isn't it?
Really, really engaging. Yeah, but the second half, he got into the Shakespeare stuff. There's something always annoys me about the school of Shakespeare, where every word is different.
Yes.
So any second, you're expecting that kind of. To be or not to be, if it is to be, press one now.
Yeah.
You know?
That is a bit of a...
Press two now.
Yeah.
It's like every way of saying it has been said,
yes.
So they're all trying to come up with one new way of doing
tomorrow
it.
Tomorrow and tomorrow, Ebs in this petty place, from day to day, and all are yesterday. But the thing is, do you think it's a bit like they all heard... Like, I don't know, whoever it was, Olivier, or maybe he heard Henry Irving. Oh, no, he's a bit too young. But ever since then, it's a bit like Elvis impersonators.
Yes.
Or Bowie.
Yes.
They all do it that way.
It has to be that way. It's not Shakespeare.
Otherwise, it's not Shakespeare. People are expecting to hear that.
It must be Olivier then, mustn't it? Maybe they're all copying
No,
him.
Because he was a bit more clipped.
But he would also try to shout things.
But he was very clipped. Remember he said, Poland, 1949. And Germany capitulated.
And he also said, don't be silly, little fool. I'm asking you to marry me.
Yeah, don't be silly. You're silly, little fool. Yeah, I love that. That's in Rebecca.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to marry me.
Yes.
Marry me.
But
anyway, acting's changed, doesn't it?
It was that's quite good modern satire for us. Like, we started doing World at War impressions of Olivia. The Stuka's raised down on Dunkirk. But Sunta, a really good evening's entertainment.
It's so good, isn't
it? He's so engaging.
So charming, so engaging.
And you really do find... Thing is, I'm not that impressed. Some people there, you could just see, they were just Lord of the Rings fans. Like anything to do with Gandalf. They're like, but for me, I didn't really like them. I thought they just went on for years and it was mostly done with like CGI, right? But it's like CGI, isn't it?
It should have been one film with just the battles.
Yeah, just CGI, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure why you're doing that voice.
because I was talking to two guys and that was what they were talking about.
Okay.
But like CGI, isn't it?
but you're right. I think his stories of him coming up through the theatre are the nicest.
They're
part
just
of it.
Brilliant, and you get this. And here's the weird thing. So I went with an American actor friend of mine, and a mate of his from Hawaii, right where he lives, and his mate was looking blankly when he was talking about pantomimes, and I never. And this is what Ian McKellen's given me, right? he's given me suddenly a notion that we do have some culture that's weird and foreign and in some way European. Because I leant across, he said, Johnny, what's pano? I was going, panto? I suddenly thought,
how quaint of us.
No, I was thinking, at Christmas, there are these sort of weird plays we have.
Very weird.
Where and Ian had already started to explain it. He was going, where men play the women, but the women are all played by men. I was suddenly thinking, wow, it is the sort of thing, like you hear Germans have got.
Right.
They do these weird Christmas morality plays and someone appears as Krampus. Yeah. And you know, these sort of things that the Danes have got and Scandinavians have at a certain time of year. But no, the lead man is always played by a good-looking woman, whereas the mother is played by a man in drag who doesn't necessarily camp it up. That's not part of it. And then there's the guy she should be with, he's not with, because she ends up going out with another woman dressed as a man and so on. And I suddenly thought, wow, you know what?
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
We've all nicked things from hotels, yeah? The acceptable face, the odd coat hanger I'll take.
Sure, sure.
No, I mean, I do take a really nice coat hanger from a hotel. But
I got a guy's watch once, it was brilliant.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing I like doing
really
as well.
Really nice watch.
I once, they didn't know that my room was interconnecting.
Yeah.
And this woman had left all her jewellery out.
And you took the lot?
Yeah. I just took the
lot. Did you sweep it from the desk into a bag?
Just into a little bag, excellent. Wore a mask, everything. I wasn't even staying at the hotel. Fantastic.
Crazy times.
No, I'm kidding. Gav, you sort of laid me astray.
Sorry.
So we all nick the odd things from hotels.
Tea bags.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes I just think you're brilliant.
Hair gel.
I always think
wait. Shower gel, sorry, not hair gel.
Hair gel. Yeah. Where are you staying?
What?
What are you?
I'm staying in the 80s, John.
What are you? What are you? Muse's road manager. Anyway, Sunta, tea bags.
I always take all the tea bags.
You break my heart because that's just so cheap and sort of. And
they're always nice.
No, but you're an honest. She's an honest. You're getting your news from the sort of person who, for them, theft is taking a couple of tea bags.
Yeah.
Okay. Other things I've taken before. Yeah.
Go on.
The bathrobes, then I found out I was charged for years. I keep taking bathrobes because I think it's great. Then you find out they just sting it on.
That's how they sell them to you.
And you only got a new one. Yeah. It's actually a sales model, that is. Just leave something there, they'll nick and then charge them later. So you got to watch it. But the shoehorns I find really useful as well, except they can crack a bit. But as you get older...
Yeah, again, I'm not in shoehorn territory yet.
No, shoehorn, I love it because I wear a lot of tight shoes, tight boots.
Sure. Sure. They really help with your back.
No, I find my shoehorns the best thing. This is just really much easier. They're the easiest way I find of getting to my jeans these days.
Oh,
anyway,
lovely.
It used to be a selection of toiletries, the occasional bathrobe that hotel guests would pilfer. Now they are stealing mattresses.
No,
they're not.
Have
you ever tried to carry a mattress?
Okay, do you know how they're doing it? It's because you're getting those lifts now that go straight to the car.
Like a service, like an industrial service.
How are they getting to stay in the hotel room? You've got to leave so much ID because they assume everyone's a terrorist.
That's right, yeah. You've got to leave your card number.
You've got to leave your card and passports, and it's not just that's no dock walk.
It must be like
that's
a
not dock walk.
Ocean's 11 style checkout.
Yeah.
You know, you get your card back. Yeah.
They got satellites tracking you.
Also, lifts.
With their scanners.
Lifts in hotels are always too small because it's always super awkward if more than three people are in there because everyone's really close together.
Yeah, you're not. We're not talking about Ibis here.
Oh, okay.
A survey of hoteliers has found there's no disrespect to the Ibis or the Lodge. Or BW. But I think they're going for the bigger.
Fancy.
Yeah,
fancy.
Even though those hotels do have fine mattresses and sheets good enough for Lenny Henry.
Every
easiest ever job in showbiz, incidentally, Lenny Henry advertising the hotel. Yeah, Lenny, can you come out your caravan, please? We just want you to lie in a bed on a station. Anyway, a survey of hoteliers has found the removal of luxury mattresses is a growing problem, particularly in five-star hotels.
Right.
So researchers said that the difficulty of walking inconspicuously past the reception desk with a super king size means most mattresses go missing in the dead of night at hotels that have lifts directly serving underground car parks, guys.
Right.
It was unclear whether the mattresses were being replaced with old ones to make the discovery, but there we go. Mattress technology has advanced so rapidly, with some containing nanotech to help keep temperatures optimal. All I want is an air-conditioned pillow.
That'd be
a
great.
Pillow that just stays
always has
cold,
a cool sign,
especially
yeah.
for hangovers. No, it's the whole thing is it just blow. It's somehow got a little tube going in there, and it just blows air in through slight
icy
holes,
air,
just icy air, and it's slightly inflated always, so well, it goes lovely, down a bit. Yeah. And you just always not enough so you're ever feeling a draft.
No,
it just heats. It just cools.
It just sucks the pain
oh,
away from your headache.
That's delightful.
Yeah, it really does. Sound, yeah, we all want one, right?
Yes.
And yet still they concentrate on medicine.
What's the matter with these people?
What's the matter? Radio X. Gav, we got a brand new podcast. Go to radiox.co.uk or wherever you get your podcast from. I don't know, wherever the place, eh?
The place. The store.
But, Gav, when I speak of podcasts, we have a brand new ambition.
What's that?
Get this.
Go on.
You know the Pulitzer Prizes, recognises yes. journalism?
Yeah.
Did your father ever win one?
No.
Didn't he?
Nope.
He must have got near it.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up.
I bet he's won one.
Maybe.
Okay, anyway, the Pulitzer Prize has recognised the growing importance of podcasts.
Really?
With the introduction of a new award for audio journalism. Now, you might not think this show is audio journalism. We handle things from proper newspapers, from proper journals, not just online.
Yeah.
Second thing is, yeah?
Yeah.
I used to serve up stuff that was a lot more lightweight than this, and I would say more profoundly deep down shallow when I sure. do the Big Breakfast years ago, and yeah. yet I got nominated for a BAFTA yeah. for the Richard Dimbleby Broadcast Journalist Award.
Wow.
Which I was beaten by Paxman. The point is, right?
God, that must have been annoying.
It was really annoying because it was a shoo-in anyway.
Paxman.
Yeah, we got the runner-up thing. Yeah, but
Paxman.
Paxman, what's he ever done apart from got someone not to answer a question 14 times? Which yeah. for me...
That's a
well,
fail.
Put it this way, he was meant to be the country's barrister. I wouldn't hire him.
No, he didn't get any answers,
didn't
did
get
he?
Any answers. Yeah. Never got any answers, just left politicians cowed. The point is, Richard Dimbleby's grandchildren used to come on the Big Breakfast. They used to want to come on with Jonathan wow. or with Jonathan or David. They used to come along there. He'd have liked to have seen his grandchildren happy more than anything.
Yeah.
I should have won that. Since obviously life's been a bit of a letdown since then. Yes.
Yeah,
I'll grant you.
Yeah. You don't really been prey on your mind,
no, no, I have. I've, yeah, Gav, yeah. I've never really recovered. But now this is the turnaround. Because if we're eligible
Oh my god.
Because if that load of crap was eligible for Britain's highest award for broadcast journalism,
we can aim for a Pulitzer.
We're better than that. We can aim for a Pulitzer. Exactly.
Let's do
right.
it. Let's yeah. pledge.
But I need all of you to find out the website.
Sure.
And go to their domain and start nominating right now.
Just one click can help us win a Pulitzer.
It really can, Gav. We can do this. We can do this. TJ says, do it. Radio X. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep me
down. Okay, so along the line of silly ideas, this is one of the best I've ever seen.
What line?
Well, the steam tank, the steam man, silly ideas.
Right, now you've reset it,
exactly.
as Big Simon would request. You can't just say along the line without giving it some context, Kev. He shouts at me every day for this very crime.
So today's hero, Johnny.
We all learn together, Gav.
Is the Great Panjandrum.
Oh, man, I like the sound of it.
So this was invented in 1943 by novelist, pilot, and aeronautical engineer Neville Shute.
Okay, really?
Who wrote Town Like Alice.
And
yeah.
On the Beach.
That's right.
He's one of my favourite authors. I love him.
So in 1943...
Well, he used to be when I was a kid.
In 1943, the Admiralty's Directorate of Miscellaneous Weapons Development gave the go-ahead to build and test Mr. Shute's idea. What it was two giant 10-foot wheels with a sort of axle in the middle. It looked like a giant cotton reel.
Yeah.
With an axle in the middle of 4,000 pounds of explosives. And it was in preparation for the Normandy landings. What they wanted okay. to do was launch something off a landing craft.
Cool.
That would go straight up the beach
yeah.
and breach the concrete defences.
Yeah, I like the idea. Not use any men.
With a hole big enough for a tank to drive through. Therefore, the 4,000 pounds.
Gav, what could possibly go wrong?
Exactly right. So it had two giant 10-foot wheels, 4,000 pounds of explosives.
Cool.
And the propulsion was rockets, which were clamped to the wheels.
Wow. With rocket. No, I didn't know we had rocket technology.
They were cordite rockets. So okay. they were just oh, right. full okay, of gunpowder.
Okay. Like fireworks.
Yeah.
That's not a rocket, Gav. That's a firework.
Test number one, September 1943 on Westward Ho Beach in Devon. They had a handful of rockets launched on the wheels.
They how many died?
They launched itself up the beach a fair distance before some of the rockets on the right wheel failed.
Oh, that's kind of
and it careened off course. They yeah. tried again a couple of times, but they gave up.
Right? Careered.
Second The second test, 3 weeks later, they now had 70 rockets on each wheel.
Oh, Christ.
And a third stabilizing wheel. So on the launch, it hurtled towards the coast, skimming the beach. It turned back out to sea with the rockets now detaching themselves.
Oh, my God.
And whipping wildly above onlookers' heads or exploding in the water itself.
I guess as long as there were no British soldiers on the beach when they first decided to launch this thing, then only a certain amount of stuff could go wrong.
That's true.
There's going to be victims. They would have
this
been
was still dangerous.
Nazis.
Just for the people watching the test.
Yeah, I bet.
So they then attached two cables like reins from the launching craft.
Oh, my God.
It snapped both cables, which whipped back towards the launching craft. So they gave up.
Oh, man, it sounds like my dad when he experimented with those line flyers he used to get.
Here's a picture of one while I'm discussing it with you.
I guess have a look. I'm going to put my glasses on.
So they came back for the third test.
Man,
it's a horrible looking thing.
It looks really foolhardy.
It does. So they came back for a third and final test, and this is the account from the BBC at the time.
Go on.
At first, all went well. Panjandrum rolled into the sea and began to head for the shore, the brass hats watching through binoculars from the top of a ridge. Then a clamp gave. These are the clamps holding the rockets. First one, then two, then three more rockets broke free. Panjandrum began to lurch ominously. It hit a line of small craters in the sand and began to turn starboard, careering towards Fetamaski, the guy filming it.
Yes.
Viewing events through a telescopic lens, he misjudged the distance and continued filming. Hearing the approaching roar of the Panjandrum, he looked up out of his viewfinder and had to run because there were rockets.
That film must be around.
Coming straight. There is film on YouTube. You can have a look at it. He ran for his life. He glimpsed the assembled admirals and generals diving for cover beneath the pebble ridge. Panjandrum was now heading back to sea, but crashed into the sand where it disintegrated into violent explosions, rockets tearing across the beach.
A crotch.
At great speed.
Do you know what, Gav? They always do these films about like Bletchley Park and great success. I just wish someone would do something about someone working on something that really failed.
This is
their
one,
life
though,
work, and just ending like that. Gav, thank you so much.
The great Panjandrum.
The great Panjandrum, Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7. Thank why we salute you.
Millions of people are missing out by having a current account that doesn't pay them any interest on their hard-earned money. TSB offers interest to all their Plus account customers for no monthly fee. Plus, you can stop your friends and family missing out by recommending the Plus account to them. And when they switch, you'll both earn £75. Search online or visit your local branch. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Listen, I just promised I'd sort the BBC out just quite quickly.
Sure.
Evidently, at the Beeb at the moment, they're fearing that the young are jumping ship for streaming rivals.
Uh-huh.
So I was just thinking, well, how could this happen?
Yeah.
So what I thought I'd do is I'd check.
They've got different channels.
They've got three channels. They've got BBC One, BBC, and they've got the thing. But how could they jump ship? Why? Listen to what's on the BBC tonight.
Oh, okay, good.
So this is just before the BBC starts to pay a consultant who probably used to work there.
Right. Yeah. But now and may charge quite a lot of money for this service.
It's now gone into the independent sector and with the promise of two guaranteed shows and a consultation. Anyway, here you go.
Go on.
Or a cost-cutting exercise. They now outsource it because it costs too much to do it within.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, tonight, for instance, you got the one show.
Uh-huh.
And that's up against Celebrity Antiques Roadship.
Whoa!
What isn't there for the young?
That's the sort of thing the young like to feast on, isn't
it? Of course it is, especially when you follow that one chart with EastEnders, which is a gritty look at life in the real world, yeah? That's just like East End.
It is.
Just like the East End.
And then you got Holby City. What young person doesn't hanker for a bit of hospital action?
Oh, yeah.
Then you got, well, of course, I say Holby City, unless, of course, you want to watch MasterChef, The Professionals.
That's the sort of thing 14, 15-year-olds can't get enough of.
Listen, 13, 14-year-olds, they want the pros.
Yeah.
Then you've got Gold Digger, right? Now, you might joke, you might think, what's Gold Digger?
Is it about finding gold?
No. God, it's a lot younger than that, Gav. It's Julia Ormond in a prenup drama.
Ah.
And that Gold Digger, 9 o'clock.
Wow.
That's what the young want. They want prenup stuff with Julia Ormond.
That sounds fire.
Sassy. Forget Ariana Grande, all the stuff the kids like. Oh, Julia Ormond.
Yeah.
That's what they're about. Unless, of course, you want to go to Rick Stein's Secret Front. But that's a bit immature for me.
Yeah, he goes a bit too young.
Yeah, he's too young at heart.
It's almost a kids' show, that one.
Okay, news at 10. Or how about The Apprentice, the final five? The kids love that. This is one. And then, get this, they've got a documentary set in a Newcastle hair salon. That's at 11:45. The kids go crazy for that.
I think it's unfair of young people to be letting the BBC down like this.
Well, especially you've got BBC Four as well, and they are just, I mean, they're youthing it up. They've got things like The Secret Life of Farm Animals. Whoa. And that's up against Holby City and MasterChef.
Yeah.
And at 8 o'clock, the kids are frankly spoiled for choice on those three channels.
How are they? They're going to have to record everything just to watch one of them.
Well, if it depends if you want to go for Julia Ormond in a prenup
in
drama.
In a prenup drama.
Yeah, or you're going to roll with Richard Hammond and check some Wild Weather.
What? Wild Weather?
Yeah.
That's Wild Weather. On,
the kids very teen. Okay.
Hammond looks at weather.
I mean, come on, what do the kids want? Radio X. Hundreds of French oyster producers have equipped their parks with fake mollusks.
Why? Decoys?
Well, they're just sick individuals. No, that's exactly right, Kev. They contain high-tech anti-theft devices. Upsurge of crime. Slowly, we're just seeing more and more theft of everything.
Oyster theft.
Is theft at sea piracy?
No, I don't know, son. It's just more and more people nicking mattresses. Just people just nicking stuff, isn't it?
Mm.
I hate thieves. Mm. I just can't. Mm. It's just, you know what? Look at every key in your... Just look at every key you've got. Every key, every pin, every camera. And it just reminds you that there is a society of thieves, and that's why we have a government society. That's what it is. It's just war, isn't it? Every
it's an
key,
ongoing battle,
every pin, every swipe thing, every number, everything. Just clock it up every day and look. Mind you, they say crime doesn't pay, but look at key cutters.
Sure.
Or insurance. Or,
yeah, all of it. It's, yeah. The point about it is that that's all that defines a society. It's just that war all the time against this society of these ones that nick everything off you.
Yeah.
Mainly from call centres.
Sure.
But the spy oysters look like the real thing, and they send a warning message to the producer's smartphone. That's not big Si, obviously.
No. Definitely not little Si.
Calm down. No, it's definitely not the other producer.
No.
If they're subjected to a sudden change of temperature or unexpected movement, and they contain a tracking device, it enables police to follow a batch of stolen mollusks. Do you know what the trouble is?
What?
There are no police. There's none to follow it up. It doesn't matter. You can film something and they haven't got time.
Yeah.
You're better off, honestly, these days, you just get a private detective agency involved.
Or a vigilante fisherman who takes the law into his own hands.
He was a renegade fisherman.
Someone took his mollusks.
He was a renegade fisherman.
Someone took his last mollusk.
Mollusk. Mollusk. Less musk.
Oyster Jack.
Yeah. Mollusk. Less lusk. Mollusk Jack.
Leave my oysters alone, buddy.
Put the oyster back. The development of the electronic surveillance system follows a rise in the quantity of oysters being stolen around the French coastline. Who's nicking them? Who's nicking them?
Other fishermen.
I don't know.
It's got to be.
I don't know who goes out there to this much trouble and thinks, let's just go and nick their oysters. Because I don't think French people do that to French. I don't know who it must be.
You're probably right.
I suspect it's British fishermen.
Right.
Do you think?
Yes. Yes. They're not honest. Mm. I'm kidding. about 20 tons were taken in the first 9 months this year.
20 tons.
That's a big operation.
That's about £6 each in the West End.
Wow.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
See, the thing about oysters is they used to just be an everyman food, like they are in Ireland.
Cheap, weren't they?
They weren't like miles up the menu.
They were like eels, weren't they?
Yeah, it's like really because they just sit on the bottom and feed on poo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful.
Anyway, the run-up to the festive season, which represents about 40% of the annual oyster sales in France, has led to further acceleration in criminal activity. Hey.
Oh.
Oh. Last week, a total of 4.5 tons of oysters and 20 kilos of clams. Worth a total of about 20 grand was stolen from an oyster farm in Brittany. So there you go. If someone does come up to you in the pub, and offer you oysters, 839-367, just get us a good deal. That's all I'm asking. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X. I've just read something it's blown my mind.
Wow.
Right?
Because this guy's really sticking his neck out. He's quite the rebel.
Is he?
Get this, He's like, this guy, I just can't believe what he's saying. It's so controversial. This is going to, if you're a parent there, I don't know, sit on your hands while I'm doing this because you're going to want to beat something.
Right.
Are you ready?
Okay. Go on.
Or someone.
Mm.
The children's authors, Sir Michael Morpurgo, have I pronounced it right? I don't know. You never says on the cover, does it, how to pronounce it?
No, it doesn't.
And Julia Donaldson have criticised a health and safety culture for limiting young people's sense of adventure. God, at last, someone's come out and said this. God, they're brave. Again, how brave this is.
Go on.
He said, children should be encouraged to explore the natural world on their own, even if it means risking occasional scrape or graze. Christ alive, this guy's a firebrand.
Yeah, that's a complaint about a problem that doesn't exist.
Wait, he says, I'm not suggesting they climb 30-foot trees, but it's okay to jump across a ditch, fall in, get muddy. We mustn't limit them. Has he seen Purcell adverts?
Yeah.
That's all they're geared round.
Yeah.
His kids exactly. Don't stop getting muddy.
Has he not seen anyone doing parkour?
Yeah, right.
On Instagram?
Yes.
It's even more dangerous.
He's lucky, hasn't he? Yeah. Fearful parents sap children's sense of adventures. These authors have said you got to get dirty. They got to go out to the
he's
countryside.
Not,
this author isn't suggesting they climb 30-foot trees. That's Sir Michael Morpurgo and Julia Donaldson, of course, goes to Gruffalo.
Yep.
But they're saying
an old quarry would be all right, wouldn't it?
Of course it would. Also,
I mean, that's traditional, isn't it?
Also, farms are really good place.
Yeah,
farm.
Tips. Definitely.
Safe. Okay, here we go. John in Manchester, he's got the right idea. And so many of you backing these two authors, I think they've been a bit controversial. I thought this would go down badly, but you really agree with them. Check this. TJ, fun bunch. Hi.
Hi.
Sure.
Kids are too soft these days. I was raised on Rambo, Commando, Chuck Norris, and I played in a concrete schoolyard. How will kids learn how to take down oppressive regimes if we don't take the gloves off and let them explore? That's John in Manchester.
Very strong point there.
So true. You've got another one here, Gav, from Manchester as well. You're really getting this in Manchester.
Yeah, Matt says safety third in my book, John.
Absolutely right. Safety third.
Right, he's right, yeah.
And you should get
risk. I think it's risk, fun, safety, in that order.
Can I just say, I'm not one for slogans, although we have loads on the wall of P45 in my gym, but I'm thinking now at home of getting safety third on the wall. Is that one of those big?
We'll have to get it ratified in the committee.
Suns Temps, what you got?
Andy says, I'm with the author. At every opportunity, I push my kids in puddles and through bushes.
Good man.
That's because you're a great dad, Andy.
Yeah, you certainly are. As is Phil from Cornwall, Teachster. We used to play down the mine works in amongst the arsenic pools, fist fighting. A well hard billy goat when we were kids did us no harm.
Yes.
Phil from Cornwall. You know, we used to eat things when I was a kid, make a billy goat puke.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, go on, Gav.
Number ending 664. I agree. I'm going to start allowing my children to run around in the garden and play with a blown up pig at pig's bladder. That's controversial.
You fill that with gunpowder. Yeah. Sons, what do you got?
Graham in Basingstoke agrees as well and says, I got my 5 and 8-year-olds to dig the foundations for my extension.
Ah, good man.
Tune in builders, although it did cost a bit in Haribo.
Dirty.
Graham is a thinker.
Dirty is better, says Graham. Johnny and Sunts and Woodman Gav, no mention of Little Si, which I thoroughly approve of. Yep. I agree with the dirty guy. The world has gotten too safe. I often trip my daughter up or push her off a slide to ensure she's got the scrapes and grazes I had as a child. She is 4. Good man, Chris. Sound like a great parent. Also, nearly Manchester. So many of you loving this in Manchester and indeed Bolton.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just going to go and drop my 14-month-old off in the woods with a map and a compass and let him make his own way home. That's near
to
Manchester.
Everyone used to do that. That's we've forgotten how to do this, haven't we?
No, these are some of the things that we've just completely forgotten. Yeah. Sons, what do you got? Another mic here.
Mike the taxi man says, my kids eat at least one bowl of mud a day. It's good for the immune system. Plus, it makes them at one with the earth.
It does.
Thank you, Mike the taxi man. Marty McParty. wow. Okay. I've got two here. This is first from Marty McParty. He says, I've taken to sharpening the corners of my tables and furniture. Yeah. That'll give the toddlers an unforgettable
proper
childhood.
Proper craft.
It certainly will. Also, Liftman Scott, good man. He's no stranger to danger. Yeah. He says, totally agree. My kids live in the garden. Literally, they only come in when I unlock the back door. Mark is a double glazing salesman in Norfolk, but don't hold that against him.
No.
I actively encourage my children to jump off the top of their climbing frame and I would catch them. Once they jumped, I turned my back. They splattered on the floor. I turned around and said, you see, you can never trust anyone.
And great the point parenting, is, Mark.
No, just say, that's a double glazing salesman. And that's, but it's important because he knows only too well. You should never trust anyone. Evening team, TJ, my three-year-old runs nightly laps to the garden carrying a pair of scissors in each hand.
Yeah.
Every night, I encourage her to beat her personal best. Gary in Dundee. Gary, add some jumps to that, yeah? And maybe sellotape the scissors to her hands.
Yeah, great thinking. Yeah.
But otherwise, sounds to me like there's a kid with a chance in life. You've given her a real start.
Where would we be without you? The butchers, the bakers, the digital future makers. From BLTs to MOTs, you're the companies that keep us all going. So mind your business, Britain. And so will we. With annual reviews to keep you on our best possible tariff. Because deal or no deal, from Downing Street to the High Street, every business is part of something far, far bigger. Find out how HSBC could help you at business.hsbc.uk/mindyourbusiness. Based on an annual review of activity for businesses with up to a £2 million turnover.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Okay, so you know they found out a little bit of, like, dinosaur scale gnawed by a...
what might have been a tick.
Right, so they're saying dinosaurs. Some of them, early dinosaurs.
Yeah, which were what? Still
I don't know. Sometimes when you look at dinosaurs, you think maybe there was just one. They're just catching it evolve.
Yeah.
That's all they get. You know, they get a dinosaur, it's like 200 million years ago, then they get one 65 million years. You'd say completely different. You're thinking, no. Could be the same one.
Could
honestly
be the same, just you've got seen, older.
You've seen what happened to humans in the last 100 years. Right? but this is the dream for me. You know. Yeah. There's two animals I really love. Three. Tigers, obviously. Great tiger like that.
Yeah.
I love a rhinoceros, you know I do.
Yes. Sure.
You know, I believe for every rhino that's taken down, you can trace to China and we should start kidnapping pandas. You know the deal.
Definitely. Yep.
They're all owned by China. Yep. I just think Africa's got to take...
Yeah.
Just got to get a bit high-handed.
Some
like that.
Payback, yeah.
No, you know, it's this whole thing of you got to respect everything Chinese. And sure, they're very good customers, dear.
Sure.
I respect that and I admire what they do. There's 1.3 billion people, different problems, different solutions. You know, I'm a big admirer of the Chinese premier. But, Gav... They've got to respect the rest of the world
as
well.
Yeah, especially if they're going to be so precious about the pandas. Yeah.
Right. Now, here's something I'd like to bring back from extinction.
This is your third favourite animal.
Penguins.
The other one.
Penguins.
Yeah, you wanted to buy some for your garden.
You can't. £12 each. And do you know something? They send you them by mail.
That's great.
Yeah, they just ice them, put them in polystyrene boxes, they just send you them.
Is it, like a sort of six-pack?
Same day delivery. You get a six-pack of penguins. Yeah.
Excellent. With a little carry handle.
No, they're just a little bit plastic collars, all of them. Wow. All held together like a six-pack, carry them as six.
Mm. Wow.
And you
pop them in your freezer?
Just play in your freezer, yeah. Here you go, that's...
yay! You're just here behind the door.
Whee! You freeze up with sort of water a bit.
Fridge starts
ice,
rocking.
And they just make little holes. But Gav, I'd love a penguinarium.
Yeah. I love watching them swim at the zoo if you get a chance. They're like little fighter
jets. Oh, when you see them at the zoo, it's unlike anyone else. Everyone else, they don't have their own environment, but Looney Tune penguins have a fiberglass Arctic without bipolar bears. It's all fish and fingers at a fret-free fun park. The comical, waddlesome, lucky, flightless, silly bobs.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's from a beautiful poem. The human-sized penguins used to swim on Earth.
What?
60 million years ago.
Human-sized?
They're human-sized.
What? Human-sized?
Yes. What? Yes.
Human-sized?
But I want bigger.
Penguins?
No, human-sized. Both of these two.
Oh, human-sized.
No.
Oh.
The human-sized penguins swam in Southern Hemisphere waters more than 60 million years ago. So they're dinosaurs, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to echo certain words. I know you're excited about going for our Chinese.
Right.
But you're slightly on top of me here.
I want to know about the penguins.
Fossil records show that birds existed alongside smaller forms similar... I imagine a mini penguin. Oh.
Yeah.
Imagine that, like, as big as the bar.
One.
Yes.
Yes. Pick up a penguin.
Oh, God. A tiny, flightless, useless little bird.
Little
thing. Anyway, the newly described kapupu, it's called a kapupu. Stillwelly has been found on a geographically remote the Chatham Islands. Nothing to do with, probably something to do with Kent, but probably not as violent. In the southern Pacific near New Zealand, South Island. It lived about 60 million years ago, but imagine that. This penguin is the first that has modern proportions, both in terms of its size and its hind limb and foot bones and foot shapes. So it was a massive...
Giant penguin.
Imagine it. 7 foot two, guys.
Imagine its breath.
7 foot two. Seven.
That's
foot.
Massive.
7 foot two.
That's massive.
It's like Jeff Capes with little flippers. Radio X. I'm so relieved, guys.
Why?
Because at last, look, I'm active. Now, the difference between people who are active is that you just do some activities every day.
Right.
When you're sports active.
Yeah,
active. Or sportif.
Yeah.
But when you're active, it means everything in your life is like that.
Oh, so everything is tinged with activeness.
Woodman, gentle Woodman. It permeates all aspects of my existence, everything.
Right.
Is about the gamma core, about the G core, about unlocking that core. I want to talk about bodies. So junk food labels, I detest junk food, as you know.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
I really don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
You're basically shake-based.
No, I don't like it because you go in those places and the people there aren't... They don't go down the gym.
They've got no respect for their bodies.
No, I don't mind the food. It's the people, the bodies.
Sure.
I'm a body snob, you know?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you know what? If they ain't matching up, they better try catching up.
They don't even know what protein is, John, those people.
Right. If they ain't matching up, then try catching up with Tej.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Sons?
Sure.
I know you've been dabbling recently, haven't you? You've been going down the gym, haven't you? But you're not active. You're active.
How's that, then?
Because you just occasionally do things. I'm there all the time.
Right.
Sure.
It's a subtle difference. Listen, a bar of chocolate, a moment on the lips, 22 minutes of running on the treadmill. Do you know what my real problem is?
What?
Getting enough on board.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm just going to vanish.
You need to load, carb load.
Well, what I've gone for is what I call my extreme gainer blend.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is so I can stay active. I'm only saying it's because at the moment they're putting labels on everything telling you how many calories are in there, but more relevant that says 138 calorie mineral.
Yeah.
So a can of minerals.
Yeah.
So, or fizzy drink, as we say down there.
Sugary minerals.
Minerals. Yeah. And we were running down the Ginnells to go and get some minerals in Leeds. 138 calorie fizzy drink, one can of Coke, takes 26 minutes of walking or 13 minutes of running.
Wow.
So that's nice that they've done that.
Yeah.
Anyway, my protein extreme gainer blend. Yeah, this is sort of worse, isn't it? Now, but this has been created because I've got bulk up ambitions. Yeah,
sure,
I still want to get bigger.
Sure.
I know you're looking at me like,
and you get
like how can you get any bigger though?
Thanks, guys.
Sure.
Quit ragging on my ass.
Shoulders like balloons.
But you keep ragging on my ass.
Sure.
Do you know what's happened down the gym recently?
What?
Little Lion Man's renamed himself.
What?
Troy.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's got a complete maker. So there's this little guy down the gym, takes loads of steroids, looks like Sandy Tosvik.
Yeah.
And
really wide.
Yeah. I said, Lion Man, like this. He just won't answer. We're all going, Lion Man. And by now I know that Quadzilla's laughing away.
Yeah.
And we're all laughing.
And Duckbill Latimus. Yeah.
Duckbill Latimus. He just, because, and we're all laughing. He just turns around and goes, it's Troy. And he's Australian. God, we're ragging on his ass till about midnight.
I bet.
Sure.
I was meant to be spotting him on the decline press, yeah? I just let him suffer right underneath. I said, he's suffering, Troy, yeah? And we all start talking about the fall of Troy. So it's really funny, but it was really funny.
I bet it was. I bet the banter was
awesome. Well, we were saying we ought to get a wooden horse down there. And because everyone down there, we just banter. We're crazy.
Yeah.
Property guys, hedge fund guys, city guys, people in...
There's a lot of guys in startups, isn't
there? Yeah, a lot of guys in startups, a lot of guys investing in gastropubs.
Sure.
Gav, what's your ONSM?
I don't know.
What, you don't know your optimum nutrition serious mass?
No. Should I be worried?
Go back to nursery school, child. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang. Radio X. Hey, I've got some bird news.
What have you got?
You weren't expecting that, were you?
What have you got?
Okay, you weren't expecting that, were
you? No.
First of all, Jimmy is in the clear. You know all the parakeets around London?
Yes.
Well, he may have bought sex, drugs and rock and roll to London.
Yeah.
Which is, frankly, why I hate anyone judging anyone for either of those three. So, no, but particularly In the papers in the old days,
yeah,
when they started judging like rock and roll crowd,
Mick Jagger
saying, in
and everyone,
sex,
yeah,
drugs scandal, I'm thinking, yeah, sorry, have you not read the tin of rock and roll?
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like judged in shame for love, yes, den, drugs. Yeah. No, he's in rock and roll. That's the point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't judge it for a bit. I mean, otherwise just, you may as well go and listen to, well, a Christian man.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be the day when we did that. Jimi Hendrix may have brought sex, drugs and rock and roll to London. Of course he wouldn't now, because now they'd just get him for everything. Photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be like Pete Doherty.
Mm.
Well, no, maybe not that bad. But according to a new study, he can no longer take credit for the booming parakeets that are around the city. They're not Jimmy's.
I never knew that was anything to do with it.
Well, he was meant to have released a ringneck parakeet, a South Asian species. He was meant to have released a pair, Adam and Eve, on Carnaby Street.
Right.
If you want to just do the impression of him releasing two birds on Carnaby Street.
Here you go, little birdies.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, you know.
Wow.
That sounded... It was straying into...
Like it was in the room.
No, like it was Fozzie Bear.
Yeah.
Fozzie Bear! Hey. Anyway. Anyway, Gav. He released them in 1968, so they went forth and multiplied, but scientists have used techniques usually used to track down serial criminals. That's what they used for this. I don't think that's a waste of equipment with all the problems in the world.
No, using equipment.
Got to get to the bottom of this.
How about using it to track some serial killers?
Yeah. I thought they came from a film studio.
No, they weren't released from the set of The African Queen in 1951. The Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn film was set in Equatorial East Africa, but largely shot in Wharton Hall Studios in Isleworth.
Wow.
Now home of Sky, aren't they? Instead, the research suggests the populations grew after several small-scale escapes. They may have also been boosted by parrot fever scares, because there was apparently a risk to humans about the parrot fever that was spreading.
Right.
Everyone got really paranoid.
Right.
Another time
it wasn't a craze.
We're threatened by the foreign invader. Story two.
Sounds like a craze where everyone was wearing parrots.
Have we got enough time? Honestly, I don't want to do it now because it's a really good one. I can save it for part two of Bird News in a second, Simon. I'd love to do that. So, research suggests populations grown after several small-scale escapes.
Right.
Here's my point. Mm. Well, all of the same one.
Yeah, there's loads of them.
If it was small scale, what? Just that parrot escaped.
It was literally Adam and Eve.
All these people always want to do is, whatever you thought, it's not true.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that bit in QI where they come out with something we're all quite happy with.
Yes.
And they go, no,
that's right.
Shoelaces are not tied like that so they can be cut off an injured soldier's feet.
Yeah.
And in fact, stems to Louis
XIV. Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of crap. But I'm sad. I'd rather have the Jimi Hendrix thing.
Yeah.
Whatever you're happy about.
Myth.
Yeah, whatever you... Yeah, right. Print, that's what... The mystery... I mean, sorry. The real central tenet of the man who shot Liberty Valance. You know? Print the myth.
Yes.
You know, if the myth's better than truth, just print the myth.
Yeah, why bother with
it? I know that qualifies like fake news.
Yeah.
But there's a line, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's no jeopardy with a parrot story.
Scientists don't want you to have the joy of thinking those are Jimmy's parrots anymore.
It's not fair.
No, they don't want you to have that joy because they found out something much drearier.
Yeah.
Instead, something to make your life more dreary and less light and meaningful.
Radio X.
Is everybody right?
Yeah.
Sunti, you're right.
Yeah, I'm great.
I am so... Do you like my outfit?
It's lovely.
Lovely.
Very festive.
Yeah.
But do you think it's too much to wear black tie, but notice red cummerbund?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's
quite a shocking quite red
festive,
as well, yeah.
Quite festive. I was going to go with the red bow tie as well, but I think that's too far. You look like someone in insurance.
What's the lining there? That's quite an interesting choice.
Okay, this is my Christmas tux.
No.
So the lining, if you look, that is...
Wow.
No, but wait for this. This is a 1960s Hermes scarf.
Wow. Right.
And I've got that stitched in. It doesn't go all the way at the back. You just see at the side there.
Yeah.
It's a 1960s Hermes scarf.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a limited run for Christmas. That's worth about $2,500 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just
don't
the scarf.
Leave your jacket on
no,
the back
I got
of the chair.
That. I got them to line that. Funnily enough, the dinner suit itself is made by a company called Cordings, who only make hunting gear.
Right.
But they experimented very briefly with a hardier winter black tie.
Is it a thornproof suit?
It's thornproof.
Wow.
It's for the hunting crowd.
A thornproof dinner suit.
They said I could get it made, and so they did that. I'm not sure about the cummerbund. I don't know if I'm carrying enough weight. Gav,
I think of it as a sort of evening at the hunting lodge kind of outfit.
Okay, but
do you know what I mean?
Do you not even think with the matching spats?
Wow, I didn't see those.
Yes, yes, red spats.
Bright red spats. Yeah.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
They're really nice silky touch. As well.
But,
wow.
But you like the shoe? Patent leather, but look, side buttons on
that
the shoe.
That is amazing.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It's quite dainty in a way.
It is, yeah.
It's almost balletic.
But the red spats, I thought they sort of gave me like, you know, like Jiminy Cricket?
Yeah.
I'm like the evil version. No, what your conscience tells you not to do, you know? Because he wears those spats, they're very distinctive. I just thought it was that kind of style.
Yeah. It's a kind of like a jaunty child catcher look.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. Like I'm sending them off to that island where they grow the Eeyore thing. Like my I once went to Disneyland with my kids at Euro Disney, and only I got really excited the fact that Honest John and Gideon came along. they're the hi diddle diddy. That's the two sing hi diddle diddy, and no one else recognised them. No other kids wanted selfies or anything. I'm thinking it's Honest John and Gideon. They're like badass. Hi, so he goes hi diddle diddy. He's so slippery and awful. Isn't he?
Honest John sounds like a punk band from London in the late 70s.
Honest John.
Honest John.
Yeah, I think Honest John. Wasn't it a record shop? Honest John's.
I think it was. I think it was.
I think it was.
I think you're right, John.
I think you're right there, John.
I don't think you're wrong there, John.
Hey, diddle diddy. Head actor's life for me.
You're looking very sharp.
Thank you very much. I made the effort. I might lose the red cummerbund and spats. They're a bit excessive. Right. Although the shoe doesn't work without a spat.
I think if you're dancing, keep it all on.
Yeah.
What about the cape and cane? Do you like that?
Oh,
that
was and the top hat.
Really good. But do you know what? The top hat doesn't fit.
Oh.
I just have to balance it because I've got
it
a funny
goes with
shirt
the horse
head,
and carriage you used on the way
listen,
in.
Listen, do you know something? I made the effort.
You did.
All right?
Yeah.
I made the effort. Hi, diddle-diddy.
Where would we be without you? The butchers, the bakers, the digital future makers. From BLTs to MOTs, you're the companies that keep us all going. So mind your business, Britain. And so will we. With annual reviews to keep you on our best possible tariff. Because deal or no deal, from Downing Street to the High Street, every business is part of something far, far bigger. Find out how HSBC could help you at business.hsbc.uk/mindyourbusiness. Based on an annual review of activity for businesses with up to a £2 million turnover.
Radio X. Johnny. Vaughan.
So I was talking about how I used to rap professionally because I just wrapped a present up. I'm Secret Santa for someone here. We all Secret Santas. I just think mine was the most beautifully wrapped.
Well, you did
very
it fast.
No,
you did it fast and well.
I'm a professional rapper. I was a professional rapper. Yeah. I was in the rap game.
Sure.
I used to rap at Asprey's, the jewellers in Bond Street, where I was a jewel courier. I used to work in the department, so I used to deliver presents to people.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, I once had a woman faint.
Really?
Because I delivered an engagement ring to her. She was a receptionist somewhere. And it was an admirer from the Middle East, a very wealthy man. And he'd given her an engagement ring that was, at the time, worth about, I estimate, about 23 grand.
Wow.
And she opened it. We had a note and everything. I had to read out the whole note. You know, I had to do the whole thing. Like, will you marry me?
Like
that's why I would like, no, for you to join me. And and she held it. She put it on her finger. And she's there. And she collapsed.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was just me and a woman, spark out on the floor in reception. I was looking around thinking, well, what happens now?
How do you do?
A bit of me says, run.
Yeah.
Says, I never gave her anything. Yeah. And someone came in and went, Anne? What have you done? They looked at me and I said, I haven't done anything. She just held it.
I'm just like the courier.
And then she started perking up a bit.
Yeah.
And it's funny, as soon as someone touched the ring.
Yes.
She said, oh, well, no, I've got it now.
Yeah.
And although she sounded nothing like that, she's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
And not that someone who speaks like that wouldn't be. But
so you were
it was just weird. But she was, it was really weird because I'd wrapped it beautifully.
Right.
And she also just went, her friends were going, no, it's, he could have got you gold. I was like, no, it's actually platinum. That is, which was at the time eight times more expensive than gold. And it was a beautiful stone and everything.
Nice
and it was
piece.
Just, it was really odd looking at all her friends running it down.
Getting what it was,
yeah, it was
maybe.
Quite weird. Anyway, I was a professional rapper. I once wrapped 12 banquet sets for the Sultan of Oman, I think it was.
Oh.
What, crockery?
Yeah, crockery. That's a banquet set is 48 place settings. And it's 9 bits of crockery.
How many items in the
set? Well, there's 9 bits of crockery per person. That's not including extras such as the bowls for sugar, the finger bowls, all the other bits that are extra.
How long did it take you to do a banquet set? I mean, how many
Gav,
days?
I'd left
days.
Before they finished the job.
Really?
Yeah, I just had enough.
It was like the fourth bridge.
Oh, it was just too much. It was too much. It's what I was going to say. 48 people, 12 banquet set, 9 items.
That's
each.
Insane, yeah.
Someone said, I used to do some professional wrapping for China Craft in Knightsbridge. It's always an odd word, Knightsbridge, because it's got 7 consonants in a row, isn't it?
Should be called Knightsbridge.
Sorry, 6.
Knightsbridge.
Knightsbridge as a student, but got taken off rapping duties because I was rapping a whole dinner service and Angela Rippon walked down the spiral staircase. Old school ref.
Yep. Right, really old school, yeah.
With those amazing legs. And I completely effed it up whilst distracted and £300 with Royal Dalton bit the dust. That's wow. Carlin Hove. Gav, you got one.
I gift wrapped at Habitat in Withenshaw and anything wrapped for a pound was the deal there. I wrapped 4 sofas before the TNCs changed. And that's from Jackie and Salford.
How about that? How about that? I don't believe there's a place as Withenshaw. That's like fiction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been out there.
Have you?
Yes.
Where is it?
Do they have rituals?
Northwest.
Okay. Withenshaw.
Withenshaw. It sounds like a metal band.
Okay, there we go. Can I just say, Angela Rippon, I blame entirely, not only for the rise of those like telethons,
yeah,
but also Strictly.
Yeah.
They're all those unimaginative people wanting to get back to the days of the newsreader with the great legs.
Oh, who knew she could dance?
Yeah, oh, it's amazing. Yeah, yeah. She's got legs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Radio X.
We recently launched our bin photography competition, guys.
Yeah.
Yep. The challenge is to take an award-winning photo of something as mundane as a bin on the grounds that anyone can take pictures of, like elephants fighting in the
Serengeti.
Getty.
Yeah. Horses running across a plain.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
right. Well, it's a Lloyd's Bank ad, isn't it? Which I hate actually, because they've got foals on it. The idea of the bank, and we're like the foal, and they want to. Take
I know.
Care
and there's all this freedom.
Well,
and
no, because
happiness.
because horses notoriously ignore their young after a certain.
And
amount
also,
of time.
Horses don't bank.
No, do you know what, Gav? And you can take that to the bank. Anyway, the point is, we looked at all these beautiful things. Think anyone can do that. Yeah. What about your bin?
Hmm.
And approaching Christmas, the bin is the problem. Waste and rubbish. How we manage it, how we use it. As you know, Professor Marb, my favourite thinker and scientist from the University of Leftovia, civilization is the obfuscation of decay, he points out. It's all we are. It's all it all is. The more you, the further you live away from decay. To him, the pyramids are just, that's all they're saying is, look how far we live from hunter-gathering.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Anyway. Keep your entries coming in via our socials. You've taken loads of great shots of bins. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, using hashtag rubbish photos, hashtag bin. Who will be our bin photographer of the year? Maybe, I was going to say there has been, but the word plays too fiendishly cunning.
It does, yeah.
Hashtag rubbish photos, hashtag bin. We've picked out 3 contenders, which we'll try and... Oh, my God. Gavin, tell us about number one, because
I love this.
Is amazing.
Well, it's an almost Victorian scene. We've got some brown London brick wall with 3 black bins, almost in a sort of triptych formation. This one's from Paulie.
Yeah.
Paulie 5446
on
Twitter.
It is like a triptych.
It really is,
a soiled triptych.
Yes, it is. It's like a triptych of decay.
Yeah, it really is beautiful,
So you've got the 3 black bins against the London brick wall, and then you've got the just a sort of like a bed of garbage around
it. Like,
beautiful.
I really love this photograph. I'd almost have that on a wall somewhere.
Yeah.
Decay barely obfuscated.
That's right.
And because of that, look, this is Professor Marb's thinking, is that we know when a society breaks down, because the first 2 things they say is that the dead went unburied, rubbish piled up in the streets.
Mm.
And that...
That's what that image starts
to
convey.
And that, it's a portal into that chaos.
And there's a certain architectural quality with regard to the light.
There's the drain pipe just off there, some kind of plaque on the wall.
It's lovely, isn't it?
That's Paulie 5446 on Twitter. Can
beautiful
I just say,
shot.
Paulie, I'm not being ironic. That is a really great photograph.
He's nailed it, hasn't he?
He really has. He's really understood it. Please rise to this over Christmas. We've sort of given this a slow burn build-up, hoping that at Christmas we're going to get some spectacular waste round your bin. So don't forget us. And if you haven't entered yet, you know, the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
This guy's given us squalor like we want it. Suns.
Matt Francis has sent this one in, and I'd like to call it a Rhapsody in Blue.
It's wonderful.
Isn't it?
It's gorgeous. It looks like it was taken on a very cold and frosty morning. A blue bin, which is framed in the bottom left-hand corner in front of a frosty hedge with just the blue sky with white fluffy clouds. It's very pretty.
The hedge almost looks like a wave in the ocean, doesn't it? Yeah.
Can I also add that if you look at it, we go from the blue sky at the top of this photo, which is portrait format,
yeah,
and it moves down through the, looks like the sort of cumulus Cumulus and Nimbus and then into the sort of Sirius area. And in this case, none more Sirius. Because as we move down, we then get that wall, which is a dark streak going through it. And almost if you go side on, it's almost just a study in the texture of sky, air and land.
It's like a high impasto with chiaroscuro.
Yes, yes. I was just going to say.
Really is.
Kev, did I just say that? Were you thinking out loud?
Unbelievable.
Oh, no, other way around. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, we then get to the bin in this frosty field. Mm. And because it slopes from left to right, and the bin is pictured just in that bottom left-hand corner, it almost like, looks like that's where it's a wheelie bin. It looks like the bin is almost wheeled into
traveling
shot there.
Across
it's
the
just
shot,
because that's the motion of the picture, isn't it?
Yes,
Kev?
It is.
The motion is left to right and downhill, and that bin has rolled in quite superbly. And then we've got Molly Templeman. So, sorry, thanks, Matt Francis, for that, which is... Francis5Matt on Twitter. Do check it out, my man. Or just go to our website for that. Also, Molly Templeman. She's got... do you know what? What I love about this is, again, the motion here, right to left. It's a yacht.
It's a portrait shot.
And a quayside. Yeah. Again, it's in portrait format. And then we've got a rubbish bin with a gull taking off
just
from
taking
it.
Flight
and it's almost like everyone's on an adventure that way except the litter.
Beautiful grades of shade and greys as you move from the bottom up to the top.
Absolutely wonderful, isn't it? It's like a study in grey. You could have done this in monochrome. In fact, the only thing in the picture that isn't monochrome is the no smoking sign on the back of the bin.
How prosaic.
Just wonderful. Thanks for making the effort. Get involved by going to our socials. That's Twitter, Facebook and Instagram and submitting your own. It could be any type of bin, as long as you capture it in a beautiful way. Check out examples at Radio X and on Instagram. Hashtag rubbish photos, hashtag bin. I'm going to organise a gallery exhibition of the best. It turns out someone sitting next to a dinner the other night at a very smart dinner do owns the most famous photographic gallery in London. I'm going to hit him up for this.
We've got to try and make that happen.
Yeah. I've got dirt on him, so I think we'll be able to get a bit of leverage.
A bit of compromise.
No, but I think this could be spectacular. At the moment, out of these, Paulie 5446.
Love that one, yeah.
You're an aristocrat.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Gav, are you ready for this? Son, are you ready? Because this is particularly for you.
Yep.
Gav, you can relax back for this.
Thank you.
I don't need your wing. I don't need Wooden Wigman on. Just because this is all about Sunta.
Okay.
You want to quizzle her.
Oh, I'd like to hear what Sunta says.
Okay. We both would, Gav. Women are much better at reading, because we're going to pick on her a bit now.
Sure.
I need it to be one of those two blokes pick on one woman situation.
Oh, that sounds fun.
No, just on a cat owner. Women are much better. We're going to need this, Gav, all right? Because this is one about women being superior. It might make us feel insecure.
Yeah.
Women are better at reading a cat's facial expression than men. Mm. Don't look at me with your eyes like coals.
What do you want me to say?
I'm just a comment just at the outset.
Mm. So, yeah, fine. I go with that.
Sonta Templeton spoke for some global news.
I remain unconvinced.
Okay, well, listen. The male, I've done the research.
Gavin's also a cat owner, remember?
That's
I know,
true,
but
yeah.
He's not a woman.
Yeah, but...
No.
I'm just as God made me, sir.
Listen, women are much better at reading a cat's facial expressions than men. Gav can't tell if a woman's better. Well, he might be.
Be very good at reading his cat's expression, is what I mean. He might be able to disprove
Sunta, I'm not going to get into an argument. I never thought this would be a flare-up point. All right? Now,
right,
just stay with it.
Tell me evidence
I haven't even started picking on you yet.
Well, that's why I've already gone defensive.
Okay, some women have been dubbed cat whisperers.
Right.
Able to detect subtle differences in feline faces, researchers found that aside from vets, women were more tuned into cats than men. They did a survey. They recruited 6,300 people. Seems like quite an operation, this one. From 85 countries.
85 countries?
Yeah, they just did it online, didn't they? They recruited. Yeah. They just sent a video around to a load of beleaguered punters. From 85 countries to watch 20 short videos of cats. Can I just say, the sort of woman who responded to that thinks she knows cats.
That's what
right?
I was going to say. I think women are more likely to think they can tell what their cat's thinking.
Yeah, they project, though.
Yeah.
When I used to have me and my flatmates, we used to have when we had a particular sort of pot-headed flat when I was about 18, we had a cat called Chuck, ran off in the end because we couldn't bear to get him the operation because I couldn't do it to one of the chaps.
Oh, I see. You didn't get him neutered.
Yeah, I just couldn't bear bringing him back and sitting and watching a film with him that night, you know?
Yeah.
How he'd feel, like looking at me like, oh, cheers.
Imagine there's a lion documentary.
Yeah, no, just to be a bad atmos.
Right.
But he used to walk around on my shoulder. Around the flat. I used to go have a pee. I used to leap up on the bath.
Do you think you knew what he was thinking from his
no,
face?
No, Chuck was enigmatic.
The thing with cats is they are only thinking two things.
Food.
Is it time to eat or time to sleep?
Or kill.
Or time to go out in the garden and do
and whatever they do out there.
Yeah, what's going on out there?
What do they do? See, I think cats, and this is the key difference, they just go out there, yeah, just go out for a bit of a mooch.
They no, do
but you
like
get the
mooch.
Idea. They sort of stretch out and go, no, let's go around, check out a few of the boys, see what's going on.
Territory, don't they?
There was a funny situation the other week, four doors down, go and see if there's any of that left.
Yep.
Yeah.
And probably go and see a couple of mates.
Have a lie down.
Yeah, have a lie down.
Sunny.
If there's a nice little warm spot I found.
There's a fundamental problem with that research.
What?
Because cats don't use their faces to express themselves.
No.
They use their tails and their
backside. Well, no. Each video. Well, you say that.
Purring and.
Yeah, they've got it covered, unfortunately. The male, you haven't outthought them.
Right.
It's just something to write on you.
I'm so disappointed.
Put it on your gravestone.
Oh, God.
He outthought by the Daily Mail. Each video is focused on the cat's face, its eyes, muzzle and mouth. None of the cats showed expressions of fear, like flattened ears or bared fangs, because these are widely understood. Hmm. Participants were asked to judge whether each cat was in a positive state, a negative one, or if they weren't sure. That's about it. It's binary, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty simple.
So it's a 50-50.
Yeah. 12 out of 20. 13% of the participants performed very well, correctly scoring 15 or better. They were called the cat whisperers. These people were more likely to be women than men and more likely to be vets or vet technicians. There's only one thing I ever understand with cats. That's when they just suddenly just do that big face. No, just for no real reason. Suddenly the head goes back and the neck's all thick and then suddenly they just hit you.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Hey, let's stop. Because I know as soon as the podcast ended, a lot of people don't hang around for this bit. Whoa!
Yep, whoa.
This is important. No. I know you even want the next episode.
Whoa, there.
Hit the subscribe button. Get the 4-7 thing down. No, stop! Because you might go, they're just a mess about that. No!
No, wait.
Because I've got the big news.
Yeah.
Ha ha! No, because you don't know the big thing I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
You can download it straight to your device. No, I'm not. As soon as it drops on Friday, keep those reviews coming in on iTunes. Wait, the big announcement's coming next. Okay.
Here we go, yeah.
Don't tune out, okay?
Okay.
You got to get through this.
Yeah.
Else you won't hear the really good news.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch, your email at johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Yeah.
But the big announcement is, get this. Radio.